Now, just before we bring our service to a close tonight, I want to draw your attention to the portion that we read together tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Now, you'll remember the circumstances that surround this wonderful miracle that we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that the Lord Jesus, at this particular moment of his life, had set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. And very soon, the Lord Jesus was going to pass through the Garden of Gethsemane. And very soon, he would be despised and rejected of men and nailed to Calvary's cross. And it was at that particular period of his life when the Lord Jesus was making his way to the place called Calvary that the Lord Jesus took time to perform this wonderful miracle. And I think it's a tremendous thing that in spite of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross, that he was going to drink that bitter cup that the Father was to give him in the Garden of Gethsemane, yet in the midst of his own suffering that the Lord Jesus took time in his love and his mercy to reach out and to pluck this man as a brand from the burning and to minister to him and to meet his personal need. Now, as you read the story of this man, you will find that the story of his life illustrates the way of salvation, or how that a man or woman can come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, I want you to notice just one or two very simple things concerning this man and how he came to know Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that you'll notice concerning this man is the fact of his darkness. The Bible speaks of this man's darkness. Now, look again there at verse 35, and it says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man said, by the wayside begging." And the first thing that the Holy Ghost records concerning this man was the fact of his darkness, that he was a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And here was a man who lived in a world of darkness. Now, you'll remember that the Word of God tells us here in verse 35 also that the Lord Jesus Christ had come nigh unto Jericho. And the city of Jericho in the days of Christ was one of the loveliest cities at that particular time. We read from history that it was known in the Old Testament as the city of palm trees. And it is said that men who were wealthy, men who had prospered in this world's goods, would buy a place in the city of Jericho that was famous for not only its palm trees, but yet it's also its beautiful rose gardens. And here's a man that's surrounded by a world of beauty in the city of Jericho, and yet he's a certain blind man. He's a man that is sitting in darkness. And you know, my friend, that's exactly how the Word of God describes those who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Bible makes it absolutely plain and clear from Genesis to Revelation that a man or woman who is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ lives in a world of spiritual darkness, and they cannot see the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Isn't it a tragedy that a man surrounded by so much beauty, and yet he was sitting in a world of darkness? You know, before I got converted, the first person in my family to get saved was my eldest sister. I'm going to let you into a secret. I was brought up in a large family, and there was one girl, and there were seven boys. And of course, my sister, well, as it so happened, she was the eldest, and she was the first to get saved. And you know, I can remember my sister in my unconverted days, and she would take her Bible, and she would go to Bible classes, to the morning services, to the gospel services, and she was in all the activities in the place of worship where she belonged. And I used to wonder myself, why is it that a young girl who had all of her life before her was so taken up with religion? I can remember just as a young man at 15 years of age, and I thought to myself, well, the way to have a good time in life is to launch out into the deep in the things of the world. And the Bible tells us concerning the pleasures of sin. But you know, as I looked at my sister's life, I discovered that in spite of the fact that I was dancing and drinking and smoking and gambling at 15 years of age, that my sister had a joy and peace and a happiness in life that I knew nothing about. Then I came to realize that she had come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. And Marsh, there was a time in her life when she knelt at the foot of the old rugged cross, when her eyes were opened by the gospel of sovereign grace, and as she beheld the Lord Jesus Christ dying in her room instead and raised again that she might be justified, she could exclaim with the bride in the Song of Solomon, "He is altogether lovely and the fairest of 10,000 to my soul." But oh, because I was unconverted and still in my sin on the broad road that leads to hell and destruction, I could only say like the unbelieving Jew, "There is no beauty in him that I should desire him." I wonder, beloved, is that your experience? Is that your standing before God tonight? That you're in the place of darkness? There's no beauty in Christ that you should desire him. And tonight he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief as far as your life is concerned. Do you remember how the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts? My friend, could I ask you tonight, has the light of the gospel shone upon your heart? Have you come to know Christ as your Savior? Have you come to know him who alone is the light of the world? So the first thing we're told about this man is his darkness, that he was a certain blind man. But I want you to see not only his darkness, but the Word of God tells us here concerning his danger. Now, if you look at verse 36 and verse 37, you'll find that the blind man hears the multitude as they pass by. And we're told that he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And we can see here not only this man's darkness, but we can also see his danger, because Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And I have no doubt that this blind man, that would seem from his faith that he had in Christ, that he knew from past miracles that Jesus Christ had performed, that indeed Jesus was the Son of David, he was the Messiah, and he was the one who came to give sight to the blind. But his danger was this, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he realized his danger, that the Lord Jesus was passing him by in his darkness, that his opportunity was almost gone. And of course, as we read this story from hindsight, we remember that the Lord Jesus at that particular moment was passing by for the last time. For as we've already said in our opening remarks, the Savior was making his way to the cross, and never again would he pass through the city of Jericho. So Christ was passing by for the very last time. Could I say tonight that every time that the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, that Jesus is passing by and he's reaching out and touching men and women that they may be saved? But you know, there's such a thing as Jesus passing by for the very last time. I think of a young man who attended a gospel campaign conducted by two faithful evangelists. And you know, this young man did a very unusual thing for an unconverted person. For 6 weeks he attended that gospel campaign, and for 6 weeks he listened to the message of the gospel night by night, week by week, as it was proclaimed faithfully. And you know, there was nights when God had troubled his heart, when he trembled in his seat and he realized that he needed to be saved. But you know, night by night, this young man hardened his heart and he said no to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of 6 weeks' gospel preaching, he was still unsaved. Well, in the seventh week, the gospel campaign at the end of 6 weeks came to an end. And in the seventh week, this young man one morning was going to his work and he was late. And he was racing along in his car and he did a foolish thing and he ran smack bang right into a lorry that was coming. And you know, the petrol spilled in his car, caught on fire, and my, this young man discovered himself that he was there trapped in the car and in flames, and as he was dying there in the car, being burned alive in the car, it was said that all he could cry was these words, "My God, I'm lost, I'm lost as he was lost there in the fire. I thought to myself, what a tragedy. Every opportunity of getting saved. And yet there he was at the end of 6 weeks gospel preaching, went out into eternity without Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know, the Bible tells us that, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, some time ago I went into a home where tragedy had struck. And you know, this home, the father had of the home had died. And you know, the mother of the home had died. And somebody was saying, well, we wonder who'll be taken next. And you know, the conversation came round concerning death and how life could end so suddenly. And this particular man, he happened to make this comment, well, it'll probably be my mother. But you know, before a few months were out, I stood with this man and we wept together around the corpse of his 3-year-old son. Life had come to an end. I was reminded again of that text we've already quoted, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yes, this man's danger, his opportunity was given, and his opportunity was almost gone. And isn't it true tonight that God has been good to some of you in this meeting down through the years? You can trace the mercy of God, how he has preserved your life to this very moment, and still you are not saved. I want you to notice not only his darkness and his danger, but the Word of God tells us also of his decision. Notice what he did in verse 38. And it says, and he cried, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And this man came to the place where he realized in his darkness and his danger there was a decision that he had to make. And the decision was this, that he would look to Christ, and he cried to the Savior, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And he cried to the Lord, that the Lord might save him. Do you remember that wonderful promise that is given by God in his word through the lips of the Apostle Paul and also Joel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the decision that this man needed was that he would call upon the name of the Lord and that the Lord would save him. I wonder, have you made that decision? Do you remember this was the decision of the dying thief as he hung there on the cross on the very edge of eternity? And he looked by faith into the face of the Son of God. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord looked at him and he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And there in a moment of time he passed from death into life, from darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, and as he was wondrously saved. Tell me, have you made that decision tonight? Oh, I'm not asking you, have you joined a Faith Free Presbyterian Church? I'll let you into a little secret. I wouldn't go to the back of the church to ask you to become a church member. But friend, I would go from here as far as was humanly possible to ask you to receive Jesus Christ, to believe in him, for he is the only way of salvation. Do you remember how the Savior said on one occasion, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tell me, have you made that decision? Have you cried out to the Lord? Have you asked the Lord to save you? But then notice something else concerning this man, and it's this, that we find also that it speaks of his deliverance. Look at verse 40. And we read, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And here we have the wonderful story of his deliverance. Now here's something that's very strange in the Word of God. You'll remember that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God, and as such he was omniscient. He knew all things. And John tells us that he knew all men. And yet the Lord looks at this blind man, and at this blind man who is crying out in all his need, and the Lord says to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Almost a ridiculous question. But you know, I believe the Lord had a purpose in asking this question. And the Lord asked the question that the man might confess his need. "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he looks to the Lord and he says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And he confesses his need to Christ. And the moment he confesses his need, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet his need, touches his eyes, and immediately he's able to see. And you know, beloved, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about you. And the Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows the longing of your heart tonight, that you would like to be saved, that you would even want to be saved. But friend, you've got to take that step of confession and confess your need to Christ that you might be saved. Do you remember how the Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, His deliverance came by confession. He had to confess His need. But I'll tell you something else, and it's this, that the moment he confessed his need, that was the moment his need was met. It was instant, it was immediate salvation. Didn't have to wait for a process of weeks. He didn't have to wait till he had some strange feeling. He didn't have to wait till he consulted the church board or his family. But the moment he confessed his need, praise God, his need was met, and the Lord Jesus Christ touched him in a wonderful way. You know, beloved, tonight, thank God, we believe in instant salvation, that it's possible for a man or woman to come into a meeting such as this tonight, unsaved, and yet go out of this gathering tonight, having met with Jesus Christ, become a new creature, and have faith in the Christ, the Son of the living God. Tell me tonight, has there been a time in your life when you've confessed your need, when you've come to know salvation, and you've come to rest your faith in the Savior? Then I want you to notice finally in closing that we see not only this man's darkness and his danger and his decision and also his deliverance, but I want you to notice something that's very important, because we read of his discipleship. Look at verse 43. It says, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." And you know, I love that little phrase, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God," because it speaks of his discipleship, that he took up his cross, he identified himself with the Son of God, and he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we're asking tonight. Art thou one of this man's disciples? How are you willing to take up your cross and to follow him and to acknowledge him as Savior and Lord? You know, one of my favorite preachers was Dale Moody. And Dale Moody on one occasion was preaching the gospel with several thousand people in the building. And D.L. Moody had been preaching on the subject, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And as D.L. Moody had preached the Word of God, the power of God came upon that large audience of people. And in the closing moments of the service, Moody made his appeal. And he said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And just then an old man stood to his feet. And he looked up at Mr. Moody, and with tears flowing down his cheeks, he said, Mr. Moody, I'll take Jesus home with me. I'll take him home with me." And the old man was gloriously saved. He became a disciple. He followed him, glorifying God. I wonder tonight, as God has been speaking to you through the messages and song, through the simple word of the gospel that has been preached, will you say tonight, "I'll take him home with me. I'll go home tonight rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven, and that Jesus Christ is my Saviour and Lord. Doesn't it rejoice our hearts to know Him, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? What He's done in the hearts of many here tonight, what He did in the life of this blind man, thank God He's well able to do in your life tonight if you'll put your faith and trust in Him.